We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Beavich and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. Phone lines are open. MGM National Harbor listener lines. 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. What is the best thing you saw in Saturday's preseason opener for the Commanders? What is the worst thing you saw in Saturday's
preseason? We forgot to bring up something.
What's that?
We missed the extra point.
You can't have that, man.
Yeah.
Cannot have that. Why don't we start with Chad in Pennsylvania? Chad, you're on with B. Mitchell Finley. What's the best thing you saw, dude?
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
How you doing, man?
Best thing I saw is Brian Robinson. I think he just looks the part. He's just decisive. He hits the hole. He gets upfield quick. I think we got a good turn that, dropping down to 16th to take Dotson and get Brian Robinson. I think that's going to turn out in a couple years to be a good deal for us. I just really like the way he is. I think I'm done with Gibson. You just can't trust him. Anytime he goes into the pile, the ball is just punched out, and it's just too easy. Plus, I think he leaves a lot of yards out there with his vision and stuff. But I think Brian Robinson, the best thing I saw and the worst thing. JP, I got to agree with you. It's just flashbacks to last year at this third down defense. It's like they can just get anything over the middle, crossing routes wide open. It's just frustrating. The line gets a push, but it just seems like the ball comes out and it's crossing routes all day. And I got to make a prediction here. If it don't change, Del Rio is not going to be here by like week 6 or 7. I don't think Ron's going to mess around with him. And I mean, you just can't have what you had last year. I have flashbacks to that Chargers game, 13 or 17 on third downs. It's just, I know it's preseason. They're not game planning, but it's just all too familiar. I want it to change. Thanks, guys.
Mm. Thank you for the call, bud. Appreciate you listening. We have the audio of Ron Rivera talking about third down defense, just talking about the defense in general. And let me be clear. What happens after a game is the coach, and this is NFL-wide, this is league-wide, the coach comes walking, jogging, running, in some capacity, the coach comes off the field and almost always goes in, addresses the team, and then goes and addresses the media. These things happen pretty quick. Usually the coach is addressing the media within, I'd say, 15 minutes of the final whistle blowing. It's pretty quick. So you often get pretty real emotions from NFL coaches in these moments because they haven't had time to watch a game plan. They haven't watched any film. They haven't like calmed down. Whatever their heart rate was, say it was at 100, it's probably only getting down to like 85 in those 15 minutes, especially if there was something that bothered them or they lost, all those things. Ron Rivera is usually a fairly jovial dude coming off the field. He'll kind of give a fist bump to the fans or whatever, especially after a preseason game. I noticed, and I said on our broadcast, B, that it was pretty clear that Ron was pissed. These were Ron's first comments. And so what happens is the coach gets up there and usually just kind of like makes a statement to start the press conference. That it doesn't really start with a question sometimes. Sometimes the coach just starts talking. These are Ron's first comments after Saturday's game.
You know, you got an opportunity on second and long when you're in defense. You got to keep it second and long. You have too many third and mediums to short. And that was one of the cruxes Jack and I talked about. And we talked about during the game. I mean, it was obvious. You get to second and long, then we get to third and three, third and four. Can't do that. That's too hard, and we've got to be better. And that's one of the things that we talked about.
It's an interesting comment after this preseason game, B.
Yeah, it is. And I think ultimately, it at least – they're having that discussion, you know, because we watch how things went last year, and I think everyone blamed Chase, and I felt that it had a lot to do with the scheme as well. And I think at least he's saying now, I'm having a discussion with the person who's putting it together. So we have to be able to adjust and make things happen. So that's good. That's good. Good news to get. And I think people are going to pay attention, because if this defense doesn't play well this year, letting Sam Mills go is not going to be the only thing people are going to be expecting.
Yeah, I agree with that. All right, let's keep the phone lines going. Let's go to Vic is in Akakik. What up, Vic?
What's up, JP? What's up, B. Mitch?
What's up, brother?
Not much. Before I go in, I definitely want to say, man, I was listening to the call the other day, or the show the other day, August 11th, 1990, when you had your first touchdown, B. Mitch. I remember when I was coming up, I said, Dad, well, the only guy that scores touchdowns on our team is number 30. every time we kick the ball off to him, that's the only time we got a chance to score. That was in 92. I was 6 years old, so, yeah, it was a pleasure to hear that. I said on the screen, I'm uber excited with like a penny with a hole in it, because I have to see this maturate moving forward. But I'm excited because I've never heard, without being provoked, just naturally in response, a commander coach, a Washington Redskins coach in the past, coach actually address something to the media before the middle of the year when everyone's clamoring for their throat. He actually said that we addressed this. Me and Jack talked about this. And we have to get better with that. And the worst things I saw, I'll get to the best thing, and I'll make this brief. The worst thing I saw is what Ron said. When we're in second and long, and right between the hash, between the nickel corner and the inside backer to the strong side or the weak side, it was mostly from the strong side, and just on the scene, between the middle linebacker or the dropping linebacker and between the safety, we got no squeeze whatsoever. And this is why they were throwing down the middle and across the middle of the field. This is correctable on the JV level, on the Pop Warner level, and in the high school level. It is playing with your eyes. It's squeezing. It's redirecting. It's causing that quarterback to take one more pump, because the D-line was getting there, and that was the best thing I saw. The D-line was getting there almost every play. If he holds that ball one more second, those are sacks. So I'm happy that Ron addressed this, because if Ron, you're addressing this, then just maybe we'll start making logical football decisions and steps moving forward to become a better football team.
It's a good call. Right, I'm with you, man. I the fact that Ron addressed this kind of his own volition after the first preseason game says something to me. Good tweet here from Echo3451 says, yep, the Panthers consistently converted third downs, and our linebackers were catching runners versus attacking runners. Both of these have been issues for the second straight year. Need to fix it, or it will be a long season, no matter how well the D-line and the DBs play. And I think there's some truth there. I think the D-line played pretty well. I've been saying this for a while. I'm concerned about depth at corner. Benjamin St. Juice was kind of a surprise inactive. You need 17 healthy games from Kendall Fuller and from William Jackson. And pretty hard to get 17 healthy games, B.
You're exactly right about that.
Let's keep it going. Let's go to Frank in Culpeper. What up, Frank?
Hey, guys. Just a quick question. And B. Mitch, you probably can address it as well as anybody, as being a former NFL player. Two of the things that I saw that were positive is legs. We both saw what happens with Heinicke and Allen, because basically their legs kept a drive going. Heinicke went for a first down, and Allen got a touchdown. So basically what happens now with Wentz in there, there's nobody spying on him for running. They're not looking at Wentz to run as compared you would Heinicke and Allen, and that is a detriment to Wentz.
I'm sorry.
You mean Heinicke and Howell?
You mean Howell?
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
My fault.
All good. All
I apologize. And at the same time, Wentz is not being spied on. And if you notice, every throw downfield on the deep shot, there are always two defenders on one of our receivers. So that the inability to spy on a quarterback who's not going to run compared to two guys who can run, I think makes a difference in our offense. What do you think?
I think that's a little premature. I think Wentz can move a bit. I don't think – I'm not too worried about Wentz's inability to move at this stage. I don't think
he used to be a guy who would tuck it and go quicker, and he had more athleticism. I think some of those injuries has caused him an issue there. But I still he still thinks he has the athleticism to move. But if he has the moving and he doesn't take it, then he does play into the hands of a defense, as the caller stated.
I think we'll see him move, and I just don't think we're going to see him move in preseason. Now, Heinicke, that's part of his game. Howell, that's a huge part of his game. Wentz, it's not nearly the same. I'm looking up his rush yards for last season. I mean, last season he ran for over 200 yards and a touchdown. Like, he can – I mean, even that 2017 MVP year, when arguably he ran too much, he only got to like 300 yards. Mm-hmm. Granted, that was in fewer games. He'll tuck it and move when he needs to. And perhaps more importantly, what we haven't seen here in a long time is a quarterback capable of third and short, fourth and short QB sneaks. Carson's a big fella, and that will help a lot there. Also, like, the deep shot to Terry, it's not like Terry was in double coverage. The safety came over and made a play. I think I'm, of all the criticism I'm ready to levy, I'm not worried about Carson not moving in preseason game one.
But my whole thing, though, Jay, you got to understand, you are who you are. If nobody thinks, oh, I'm not going to run in preseason. If you're a guy that's going to run the ball, you're going to run the ball. I think we have to be fair in our let's say, criticism or critique of Carson. Yeah. We can't just think assume he's going to do everything. If he doesn't do it in preseason, then how all of a sudden he's going to just click on the – he going to just turn it on in the regular season?
He played less than a quarter at the same time.
I understand. Like, but if there's a space to run, run it. Because just like dump it off to a running back, running that 5 yards will still keep the people honest.
We're not allowed to talk about specific plays we get to watch during practice, but I've been at practice enough and I've seen him on the move enough that I think he'll move.
Okay.
And we can circle back to that. October 1, check me on that. We'll see. Let's go to Lou, our guy, Metal Shop Lou. Turn the metal shop off, Lou. We're coming
what
to
up,
you.
Hey, JP, you funny, man. What's going on? How you guys doing?
We're good, man.
We're good, buddy.
The best thing is, like, the first caller said, man, watching that running back, the rookie running back taking over from, you know, Mr. Fumble, man. He keep fumbling in the preseason, and sooner or later, he's going to lose his job. So, that's probably the best thing. Other than that, you know, I'm still confused why this JDR is still the coach. I mean, Ron should have just fired him and brought in somebody else with a new scheme. And, you know, they're still doing this 10-yard back and playing. You know, why? Like, this preseason, man. You can make the call. We could all make these calls. Yet they're still doing the same thing. And I just think that this guy shouldn't have a job. He should let him go. Why wait 6 games into the season? I think he should let him go right away, but that's not going to happen. That's his buddy. So other than that, man, that's all I want to say. B. Mitch and JP, man.
All right, bro. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Luke.
Yep.
We don't want to make too many conclusions off one preseason game where starters played for about a quarter, but I did not feel encouraged by the performance of that starting defense, Brian. Mm-hmm. I'll say that much.
Man, I think the same way as we – If we were winning after the quarter that they played with the starting offense and defense playing great, and then they lost the game, we can easily say, well, our starters was beating their starters. We don't have that same – we can't say that right now because our starters wasn't beating their starters. And I've said over and over again in preseason, for the most part, I judge the guys who's going to be buckling it up on a Monday night or Sunday night or whenever the season starts out. And – on Saturday, I couldn't say that I was thoroughly impressed by the guys that I feel is our main guys because I felt they got outplayed by Carolina's people. But now, the thing that made the game interesting to me was that our backups came in and played exceptionally well, way better than their backups. So when I left that game, being impressed by the backups, not necessarily the starters.
I'm with you. Let's go. Speaking of the backups, let's go to Tim in D.C. What's up, Timmy?
Hey, Tim, how you doing?
There, bro?
How you doing? Yeah, what's going on, brother?
All right, good to hear from y'all. Hey, man, I know it's just the first preseason game, but, you know, I am thoroughly impressed with my man Sam Howell. I would really love to see him out there with the first team. I really would. I think that Carson Wentz is going to break our hearts, man. That guy doesn't – to me, he just doesn't have that look. To me, he looks skittish. He looks kind of unsure. watching them pass the ball, man, he was throwing the ball in some tight windows, man, where they could have easily been picked off, you know, in my opinion. I just really think that, you know, we're going to get the performance that Carson Wentz will give us will be equivalent to what we get from a rookie, in my opinion. So why not start the guy Sam Howell? Put him out there with that first team, man. Get him them first team receivers and line, and let's see what he can do, because the guy, man, he's a nice quarterback. I think he's going to be the future of the Redskins. I'm sorry, the Commanders. And Mr. Dust Up, man, that guy's got to go, man. This 10-yard cushion that he's given, it's been 3 years in a row. What more do we need to see, man? This guy's horrible, man. Thanks, fellas. I appreciate you taking my call.
All right, man.
Thank you, buddy. Did he call Jack Del Rio Mr. Duck Duck?
I guess.
Is that accurate?
I guess that's what he was talking about.
I've never heard that. Have you heard that, B?
Nope, that's a new one.
Okay, all right. That's new to me. It was funny. I think it's premature to call for Howell to be starting, but that's why we love football, and that's why I love this town.
The passion. The passion.
Absolutely. We're gonna do phone lines, I think, the whole hour. So everybody that's on hold or whatever, don't worry. We're coming to everybody. Right now, though, let's go to Jay in D.C. What's up, Jay?
Hey, what's up? What's up? What's up, fellas? B. Mitch.
What's up, brother?
What's up, man?
How you doing?
Hey, look, man. I've been saying for years, first of all, real quick, that I was listening to y'all talk about the special teams and the returns and Brian Mitchell, like you always said. You might take 2-3 steps one way and then get up the field. You've been doing that your whole career. I've been watching you. I never understood why you don't employ somebody who knows how to do it and knows how to get the best out of these people. Brian Mitchell returned kickoffs and punts. I hate that we have two people to do different things. You know what I mean? Get one guy who knows how to set up a return and do that. So that's one of the things that I just wanted to say. But as far as, like, my best and my worst, I want to give credit and props to the Boars. They ain't the Hogs 2.0. You got to give them their own identity. I'm calling them the Boars. They quiet as kept was one of the better offensive lines. I know we got a few new people in there, but they've been one of the better lines last year. I think they held up formidably well. They created some holes for number 8 to look good. You know, they blocked pretty good downfield and everything like that. I seen them on the screen pass to to Curtis Samuel. They was getting out the block in front of him. Those are some of the things that were really, you know, stood out really to me was the O-line and the protection of the quarterback. Now, my worst was the back seven of the defense. I'm talking about the whole back seven. One bright spot might have been, you know, Bobby McCann as far as the starters and stuff like that and his help, you know.
He made a nice play deep, back, for sure.
Yeah,
he did. He did. He helped because the guy had caught the ball, and William Jackson got up waving his hands like he made a play, but the guy actually caught the ball, and Bobby McCann helped break it up. But that back seven, man, is going to be a problem. I seen Cole Holcomb on a couple of plays. He's in the same gap as a D lineman, and we don't need two people in one gap, you know. So I just think that's a problem. And last thing, as far as this, you know, kickoff. I don't have a problem in preseason if the ball is 8 yards deep. Bring it out because I want to see all types of scenarios. I want to see what the special teams looks like returning. It does us no good to fair catch it. We want to see what it looks like. And then if
I don't agree with that. I've agreed with everything until that. Okay. Thank you very much for the call, Jay.
I kind of understand where he's coming from. It's preseason, though. And what you're doing in preseason, you're trying to get situations. And what if he comes out from 8 yards deep and he returns it to the 25-30? Fine. But if he doesn't, now you're in a backed-up situation where what if a penalty was called on the inside the 20 anyway? You can't just avoid and think you can't get it done.
My point is you shouldn't do that in the regular season either. Like, you shouldn't take that.
In the regular season, you don't do it. But preseason.
I think they made a bad decision. And I think for the guys that are trying to become the kick returner, you've got to simulate a real game here and show us your decision-making process. Because that's as big a part of the job as catching it and running it.
I'll be honest with you, Jay. I played for Wayne Sevier, Pete Rodriguez, LaCharles McDaniel, and also John.
They would want you to bring it out in that
spot?
They
told me in preseason, return it no matter what because we're trying to see our blocking and we'll see. We know what you can do. Just bring it out. Now, I don't know if this was told by that by the coach, but sometimes you do it in preseason. Why? Because they told me I'm going to have one kick return or two kick returns. So you can't sit up there and say, okay, I'm a fair catch. I'm just going to keep this one in. I'm going to keep the next one in. No, you got to return them sometimes. Preseason is one thing. During the regular season, the coaches are going to say, bring it out if it's this. Now, let's say we're playing against a kicker who drives the ball, like Morton Anderson would drive the ball. They told me if it's 5 or 7, bring it out. Now, if it's another guy who kicks the ball high, if it's 5 yards, don't bring it out. But there are kickers that are going to kick the ball high enough to the one, to the goal line.
Yeah, I mean, Belichick's always trying to do
that. Yeah, are we not going to return those because we might not be able to get to the 25? So if you do that, then you can find out. When you go watch the film today, when they watched the film yesterday or even today, they know who the hell didn't block. And if the guy had blocked, I promise you, you're going to say, well, he had a lane there. So I think that those are times when you could take chances in preseason like that.
Let's do this. Let me clarify something real quick because a number of people have tweeted me about this, including our guy DNC. I think that caller called Jack Del Rio Mr. Dust-Up in reference to his comments about January 6th.
Oh, yeah, that's what it was.
Not Mr. Duck-Duck.
Dust-Up.
Yeah, which is kind of a funny line, frankly. Carl Grebe, who I saw at the game, Carl Grebe demands that I pay attention to him, but never has the nicest things to say. It's a very unique relationship me and Carl have. Mm-hmm. He says that people with Sam Howell need to calm down. Sam Howell faced the Food Lion bagger teams whose fight song is worse than the Commanders. I don't know that I agree completely with that. Let's do this. Phone lines continue. They're packed. We're going to keep them going. When we return, MGM National Harbor listening lines.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
What was the best thing you saw? What was the worst thing you saw? You're listening to B. Mitch and Finley. Johnny Cash, Man in Black. Listening to B. Mitch and Finley. 107 The Fan. You know one guy I thought of Saturday afternoon, B?
Who that?
DeAndre Carter. Wouldn't have cost you much to keep that fella.
Well, wish I saw another guy go for one kickoff for 38 yards.
Is that Steve Sims?
One rush for 38 yards. 38 something special for him, I guess.
I saw a lot of Steve Sims. There's certainly highs, but there's lows too.
Yeah.
Carter I would put in a
Carter's
category.
Way more consistent. Carter was a guy who he was aggressive and he did things consistently. Steven is kind of like Antonio. He's always looking for the big play instead of making the play.
Yep, and puts the ball on the ground a little too often. Yeah. Phone lines remain packed. MGM National Harbor listener lines. Listen, this is good. It's like these are our Mondays after games where me and B are just going to scream about the game for a while. Then we're going to open up the phone lines. Let's go. It's KB in Baltimore on line 2. KB, what up, man?
Hey guys. Good morning.
What's up, brother?
Hey, so I'm just calling. I definitely got to say a highlight, which is definitely underrated, is the offensive line. So I know we're missing two starters right now, but I think they held up pretty well. I know the pass rush was pretty basic, but it's nice to see that we still have that flexibility. And then I would say for the negatives, it's the AG fumbles, man. I'm a huge supporter of him, but, you know, I think Beamer said it best, but ball security is job security, right? And then you got a guy with Brian Robinson who played behind a couple of backs at Alabama. The guy's hungry, so if you're going with a running back committee already, it's not looking too good for AG. That's it, guys. Thank you.
Hi, bro.
Thanks, man. I don't disagree, man. It's not a good look for Gibson to be fumbling in preseason, losing carries in preseason, however you want to examine it. Not a good look at all.
But what I'll say about the preseason, I know people always say, oh, it don't make no difference. It doesn't make a difference when it comes down to records. It doesn't make a difference at the end of the year when you, if you want all four of them in preseason or not. But it does make a difference when you can see your team going against another team and you find out, like, okay, are we one step slower or one step faster? Are we about equal to the guy? Like, when we play against Kansas City, you think I'm not going to be comparing our speed and the way we do things to Kansas City? Because Kansas City is perennially a winner right now. So you want to see if your guys are close to that. That's how you compare yourself to find out what's good and what's not. So I know when things go great, those that want to support something, they go, oh, man, you saw what happened. And when things go bad, they immediately say, oh, preseason doesn't matter. Well, it matters. When coaches have decided if it didn't matter, they wouldn't do it.
Well said there. Let's go to Pat in Mechanicsville. What's up, Pat?
Hey, how y'all doing, JP and Finley? I mean, we're good. My bad.
We're doing good, man. We're doing real good.
Hey, I got a question for you, man. You remember when you used to return kicks and punts?
Yep.
And you used to come on straight up the middle and hit the hole?
Yep.
And you gone. We got guys that are returning kicks that look like they're Dancing with the Stars, man. They could be on Dancing with the Stars. Mm-hmm. So we need somebody that's going to hit that hole and go.
Yeah, and, I just look at it like,
I
look at it like this. You go full speed upfield, normally you're going to have to run against one guy. If you start dancing around, you get multiple guys there. And although I was bigger than most returners, I didn't want to get hit by four and five people. Career short when you do that.
Yeah, and the thing I like was everybody else, Brian Robinson in-house. And I tell you, AG better get himself together or he might be looking at it, not having a job, man, because – like, say, I like the dude, and he's a heck of a player, but you cannot put the ball on the ground, man, because if you do that, they're going to lose trust in you. All right, man, y'all have a good one.
All right, man.
Thanks for the call, bud. Appreciate it.
Did you see the Green Bay Packers and the 49ers game?
Not all of it. I saw the highlights. Right,
well, Jordan Love comes in, 13 of 24. He threw two touchdowns, but he threw three interceptions, and they went the distance on him. A couple of them went there. Then you look at Trey Lance, the guy who he – people were questioning, will this guy be able to do it? He threw it five times. He had 92 yards and a touchdown and looks way better already than he did those previous years. In that previous year. So like that.
Yeah.
Just like, you know, it's you want to see when you draft people at a certain level and a certain position, you want to see major jumps, not like this little weak stuff. Like, oh, man, he looks just like he did last year. That's a problem.
I agree, B. I agree. Let's keep the phone lines going. Our guy Tailgate Ted is on the line. What's up, Ted?
What's up, Ted?
What's going on, boys? How you doing today?
Good, man.
Doing well, man.
So from a good perspective yesterday, I'd have to say Carson's footwork. I was surprised to see him shuffle around that pocket and kind of evade pressure. There was one play in particular where I felt that AG completely missed a block on a defensive end coming in, whiffed. Carson just stepped up, shuffled his feet, and then just got that ball out of there. And after hearing some different things about his mobility, and JP, I know you're not allowed to talk about certain plays, but there was a play at camp where I remember they were in a red zone drill, and Carson ended up keeping that thing and running around for a touchdown. And it seemed to shock everybody on the defense when he did that. So he still has some moves, and I definitely saw that yesterday.
Yeah, again, I'm not allowed to talk about that, but had I seen it, I was quite impressed. Thank you for the call, Ted. I appreciate you.
What I tell you the two jobs of a running back before they run the football is?
Dude, I know it, man. I actually wanted to bring that play up.
Protect
I'm glad
the quarterback and protect the football. You start off the first game like AG did, and they're going like, hold on now. You're in your third year, bro. You're not supposed to be missing no blocks and dropping the ball.
Right. Dude, so there was a play where it looked like it was about to be a sack fumble, frankly. I don't know if you remember it, but it was still early on. Because I guess when Carson had the good drive, was that early second quarter? because they were coming towards us. So this was early when they were still going the opposite direction. And it looked like Carson was going to get sacked, and like the Panthers defender was in position to slap the ball away. He made one of the best – the best quarterbacks are able to move in the pocket using minimal movement. And I recognize that sounds, you know, contradictory, but think about Tom Brady. And I'm not comparing Carson to Brady, but I'm just trying to give an example.
Yeah, yeah, I know.
Brady doesn't move a ton, but when he moves, it's deliberate and precise and purposeful to evade defenders. And he uses defenders' leverage and speed against them. So if a guy's coming hard at him on his right shoulder, he'll just take one step up and the defender kind of flies past him.
Yeah.
Carson made a move like that on what looked like was going to be a sack fumble. And to tailgate Ted's point, I think that was impressive.
You know, like the basic two-step, people get on the dance floor and they just step side to side. That's what Tom Brady uses for the most part. And I think people expect the guy to be able to move. Remember Deshaun when they were dancing at the wedding, JP?
Yeah.
If you do all that, you're going to get tired. You know what I'm saying? So
sure.
I just think that the more people have to understand, moving in the pocket doesn't mean tucking the ball and running around. Moving in the pocket means just a slide. Slide here, slide there. You see guys coming, you move. Your guy push him right past you. You step right back in that position and deliver the football. That's all it takes.
I'm with you, B. Let's get one more call in here. We're going to do calls through the remainder of the hour. Mike Jones joins us at noon.
Mikey.
Hold on. Landfill, is Papa John on the line?
Yeah.
Papa Hello? John, is that you?
Yeah, it's me, the real Papa John, P-O-P-P-A-J-O-H-N.
There you
what's
go.
Up, oh, fellas?
What's up, brother?
Are you in pizza exile?
No, I'm not. You want to know something? I got a lot of kids and 15 grandkids.
Whoa,
so they call
there
me
we
Papa
go.
John.
There we go. There we go.
There you go. Hey, fellas, man, you want to know something? I love the show. Landfill, you my dude. And Jeff, you my guy. Hey, look. I was watching the game. I'm a season ticket holder. But, man, I'm telling you, the offense needs to open up. Yeah, if Carson has a big arm, let him rip it. Let him rip it. All that dinking and dunking, we've been looking at this stuff for the past 3 years. And the defense, they're going to have to tighten it up. Third and long, it's just like first down, first and one, first and two. They would get first downs. It was so messed up watching that game on Saturday. But you want to know something? The only time they really play is when they get behind. They open up. Why don't you open up in the first quarter? Play as if you are down 10 points. Open that thing up. Open that thing up. But the two bright spots that I liked on offense and defense was Robinson and also number 16. What's his name? Parker. Because he was coming up.
He brought the wood late, man.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One love to y'all.
All right, bro.
Huh?
Appreciate it. That was number 16, right?
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Tanner and I
not
kept
scared.
Talking about him. He brought the wood, dog. He didn't play.
Dude, they just signed him in the last week, I would say. To the point where if you go to the Commanders roster, he's not even listed. like if you go to the I don't want to be – hopefully I want to be sure. I mean, unless – oh, never mind. So he's listed below because he's a red number in practice.
Yeah, yeah, he's on here.
Stephen Parker from 6'1", Oklahoma.
210 pounds. Yeah.
All you can do in – preseason like that is try to make plays and try to stand out. He did it.
Oh, yeah.
I got a player that I want your opinion on, B, as far as if he stood out or not. Keep the phone lines going, 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. I'm asking you, B. Mitch, about Jamin Davis when we return.
All right. Most of the game.
Let's keep these phones going. Let's go to our guy, Chris in Lanham. He wants to talk about the linebackers. What up, Chris?
Hey, how's it going, JP? Finley, thanks for having me on.
We're very
thin at linebacker. God forbid Cole Holcomb, you know, gets hurt or anything because we have David Mayo backing him up, and he can't cover anything. I want to speak about Gibson. The fumbles are definitely a problem. He's too good of an athlete not to have him on the field. All his fumbles occur between the hashes. Like, he's a receiver, and it's starting to, like, rear his head that he's a ball receiver, and he's putting the ball on the ground. So I think we need to use him in a screen game. And finally, with the quarterbacks, Sam Howell does look good. I think he can be the future. But as, you know, Washington fans, we got to pump the brakes, of course. We spent this money on Carson, and I wouldn't mind if he was QB2 the next couple preseason games because he looked good. Thanks.
All right, man.
Thanks for the call, bud. I don't disagree with anything there. The only thing I'll say about Gibson, it's like, all right, and B, we kind of talked about this earlier. You know, oh, he's a receiver playing running back, just use him in the screen game. He could still fumble as a receiver. Like, yeah. It's the ball in his hand.
Totally.
Let's go to Captain Todd is on the line. Captain Todd will get you high tonight. What's up, Todd?
What's going on, man?
I like Billy Joel Duck rendition. You prefer being called beautiful. Mr. Duck Duck? We can do that.
Or Captain Duck Duck. That'd be cool. What's going on, guys? Hey, I'm actually just getting into the city with your rum that I brought you from Nicaragua.
Okay. I'm not there, but if you get to the office, we'll send Jeff down to come pick it up, and I'll get it later this week.
Yeah, I'll drink it.
Okay, yeah. I think Brian long. Likes the brown liquor a little bit more than JP does, right? JP's more on the clear stuff.
I love the brown liquor. The brown liquor just doesn't love me. That's what I'll say. Next morning.
He doesn't know how to stop.
Okay.
You know,
well, this stuff is bourbon barrel aged, so I don't know if that helps.
Oh, yes.
As long as we enjoy it as a team, we're good.
All right, gotcha.
Well, all right, you better get back fast then. I think Brian's going to, you know, kind of start without you. I want to talk about AP a little bit. I don't know if he has, like, that natural running back vision. I think he's learning it a little bit, but I don't think it's a reflex to him. I don't think it comes naturally, you know, when he's in the game. I don't think he hits those holes right, makes the cuts right. I think he has to think about it instead of it just coming to him naturally. Where it looked like Brian Robinson kind of just, you know, it came to him pretty naturally, and he was, you know, hitting those holes pretty good.
Yeah, he's very fluid at it.
Absolutely. Todd, do this. Landfill or Jeff, put Todd on hold so you can get his number so he can text you guys when he's outside, and we'll take it from there. We got two more calls here. Daryl is in Columbia. What's up, Daryl?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. You know, a lot of good organizations, you know, they admit their mistakes. You know, with Seattle, with Russell Wilson taking over for the guy that they got from Green Bay. You look at Arizona with Kyler Murray. You look at the Philadelphia Eagles with Chip Kelly and letting Wentz go. You look at the Ravens with Lamar Jackson and how he replaced Flacco. They let him go. He won a Super Bowl. So, you know, they admit their mistakes. I look at Carson Wentz's play, and I look at his body of work. He might get us one more game, seriously, even with a weak schedule that we have. He's hesitant with his throws. You know, he doesn't know our system. And, you know, my thing is, why don't we trade him to Chicago, get their linebacker, let Heineke, you know, he knows the system. Howell can be the backup, you know. And the other thing, switching the defense real quick, why we can't bring Warren Sapp in and be the defensive line coach with the potential to be the coordinator? You know, the guy brings energy.
I don't think he wants to do that. Sapp, he's been very clear.
Yeah, he doesn't want to be a coach. He does too much. He's doing a lot off the field there and making money because of the HOF behind his name. That he don't need to sit there.
He's also just chilling. And coaches don't get to chill. I don't think I think he likes coming in and helping the guys and then going back to
whatever he does.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
Thank you for the call, though, man. I appreciate it, Daryl. Yeah. I think it's a little premature to give up on Wentz. I do think Roquan Smith in Chicago would help this team tremendously.
Yeah.
I don't expect it to happen.
But see, but I think also we talk about the benefit of the doubt. You can't give up on Wentz because the way you went after him. And I think this team is not in that position to even think of anything like that.
Totally agree. Same reason they can't go get Roquan Smith, because they can't give up on Jamin Davis that fast. All right. Mike Jones joins next. Mark in Largo, if you can go quick, please, sir. What's up, Mark?
Boy, that was a wild call. Man, that was a wild call. Oh, geez. How do you follow that crap? Look, I was going to say make the trade to Chicago, but I was going to say Antonio Gibson to Chicago for that linebacker. I mean, because, look.
It's an interesting prospect.
They're going to want more than that, though, Mark.
I think everybody needs to hope. I think Wentz is going to have a great year. And I'm a Sam Howell fan. But I think Wentz is going to have a great year. But I do think Sam is going to be number two. And I think Taylor, I mean, JP, you saw Saturday what Taylor does. Taylor does what Taylor does. It's like Forrest Gump. He does what he does. I mean, stupid is what stupid does. Every time he gets in trouble, he just throws an interception. And I think, and he knows it, you know, whether he wants to admit it or not, he's in a quarterback battle with Sam Howell. So we'll see how that goes.
It's a quarterback battle, but ideally, you know, if Wentz plays well, like you said, you expect, we're not going to worry about it once the regular season happens. Mm-hmm. Thank you for the call, Mark. Appreciate you, buddy. Mike Jones, USA Today.
Mike Jones.
He was at the game Saturday. I sat two seats away from him, got to watch and listen. He will join us next on B. Mitchell Finley.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.